WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into a big week here. It's Preak this week. Orioles playing great baseball. And I got a lot of music in the blood here the last couple of weeks. I saw Seal a couple of times last weekend, Janet Jackson over the weekend. I am fresh back from a John Waite private event on Preak this week here. We got Bruno Mars in town Saturday. The great Boz Scaggs is playing the lyric. And I will be at Rams Head in Annapolis with this guy who's been making some of the finest music. I've been doing radio for 31 years, and I've threatened to have Kurt Newman from the Bodines on many, many times, many, many tours, and we finally made it. It is just an absolute pleasure to have you aboard. I know you're out on the road and working on Wi-Fi. How are you? How's the tour going so far? You're sort of fresh out to it, right?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, we always play, so we're touring all the time. You know, we do kind of a 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off kind of thing all the time. So I'm always out there somewhere.
Well, I'm friends with a lot of musicians. I was with one of them tonight that tours around here, my dear friend John Allen, who comes on the podcast. I always say to him, and I'm 54 and he's getting there, and I would say, it's hard being a musician. You know, I mean, I know what I do. I do sports radio. I've done radio for 31 years. I own a station. It's hard, sponsors and all that. I can't imagine doing it on a bus. And I see you guys pull in, and some of the local bands, Kix here is a huge, much like you are in Milwaukee and Summerfest, they're that band for our area, legendary. They're calling it quits. They're saying they're going out on their own terms. I just think it's really hard to do what you do. I have a lot of respect for it every time any of my favorite bands come to town and do this.
It is, yeah. No, it's it takes a lot of stamina to tour, and especially as you get older, it gets harder and harder. Yeah, you learn to do it a little bit better. You know, when you're 20, you're just doing the craziest stuff in the world, right? And you're just living fast and free, and so that takes a toll on you. As you get older, you learn to control that a little bit better, I guess, and try to take care of yourself a little more just to get through it. But it's exhausting. You know, anyone who's traveling through airports and traveling, driving, flying, buses, trains, whatever it takes. And then on top of that, you spend a couple hours pushing all the oxygen out of your body each night, singing songs and jumping around. And so it wears you out. But, you know, it might also be what kept me in decent shape all my life as well. Because, you know, because it's quite a bit of exercise actually involved in it, you know. And but it does take a toll on your body to keep it going. And so I understand when people just can't do it anymore. Sometimes we've had people come out, like photographers and stuff, to do kind of documentary stuff or interviewers, and they usually last a day or two before they're sick. You know, it takes a lot of certain life, a certain type of person and a certain type of DNA to be able to handle it.
Well, and to love it, and to want to be back in Annapolis on Saturday night on Preakness weekend, playing your songs and bringing a show out. And I want to speak to COVID a little bit. I mean, your band's gone through a lot of changes. People can read up on, you know, 35 years of your history. But where you are now, I think, and I saw Styx last weekend, and the M3 bands came through, the old Metal Axe. They do that deal down at Merriweather. And I think COVID changed so many things with people stuck at home. They couldn't go out and work. I saw Seal touching humans in the crowd at Anthem the other night and up at Philadelphia at the Met, like grabbing people and looking into their eyes and touching them. And I'm thinking, man, COVID just changed things. But I followed you during COVID, and I followed a lot of musicians that were attempting to be artistic in some way to do something interesting for themselves and for their audience. And I think you really excelled at it. Can you talk a little bit about the COVID lockdown experience? Because you really turned it into something that it felt like it was your vision. It felt like there was no record company or anything. It was just sort of like, I'm stuck at home and I'm going to do something for people. And you did. You entertained the hell out of me, Kurt.
Yeah, I saw people kind of just, you know, standing with their acoustic and playing a song or two. But it just seemed, it was interesting. But I just thought, what would happen if you took it a little bit further? And so I started going into our catalog, you know, way far back, and then the not so far back, and just kind of revisioning some of the material. So I would go in and I'd re-record for 2 days, and then I'd spend another couple of days just kind of shooting my own video footage of it to go along with it. And then I had a couple of days to throw it all together and then put it out, because I was releasing one a week. So that went on for like 24, 25 weeks straight
Did
of
it feel like
stuff.
work? Did it feel like an obligation? Because I've written books. I know what that project feels like when you step into it and say, I'm going to write a book. And then you're like 3 months in, you're like, shit, why don't I do this again? You know, like, was there a point where it was self-inflicted pressure? Because it felt like you were really pumping it out and you got into a groove there 6, 7 weeks in. I'm like, man, this is like better than going on tour. This is like you're really thinking about this stuff.
It was a lot of work, but like you say, we had time and there was nothing else to do, so it kept me busy. And it was fun. I didn't have a lot of time to get, it's like when you go in to make a record, you have all these great musicians and engineers, and you can really take your time and mess around. So it wasn't like that. It was just me in the studio, so I had to kind of move it along and stuff. But I had good ideas on what I wanted for the music, and I wanted it to sound a little bit different and fresh and stuff. So I just kind of threw paint at the wall, and I would see what happened, and then I'd just kind of go with it from there. And I just wanted people to have something every week to look forward to and to listen to. And then at the end of it, I just kind of compiled it all into a double CD release called 2020 Vision, because I thought it would be something we could all remember kind of together. So I put the DVD with all the videos on it and then all the music separately. And when we look back at 2020, here's what I was doing, and maybe a lot of people will remember, looking at it and living through it themselves and watching the videos and being part of it.
Look, man, I got all my CDs here. I can, pull them out through the years and stuff like that. And I think about these songs and hearing you play them in all sorts of places. I used to chase your band around when you would go out on the road. I'd do 3 days in the Midwest and figure see new places. I was single, so it was girls were involved, bands, bars, Dewey Beach, all of those shows. And it, I guess with you and Sam in that era trying to get it right and having different drummers sometimes, and Bobby G was with you most of the time doing things that the crowd expected, all the songs to sound like the songs, and you're such a sing-along band that it didn't give you a whole lot of leeway. You know what I mean? Like singing You Only Love acoustically was your magic trick, and I still, bravo, I've never seen anybody do anything like it, quiet a hall and do that. But trying to find something new. And I guess during COVID, watching you do this, I'm like, Kurt's an artist. I mean, the videos and stuff, it felt more like just more than making songs. It felt like there was an art involved with what you were doing.
That's all I know. I'm not good with, spelling or numbers or anything like that. That you should be. All I my mind's ever been, interested in is doing creative stuff. And so I really enjoy it, and I don't know really what else to do. And so that's what I spend my time doing, even if I'm not doing music or video or something, I tend to be painting something or building something. I build my own guitars because it's the same thing. It's just I like the creative energy that's involved in it all.
Kurt Newman is our guest. He is the Bodines and has always been a Bodine. And I want to thank my friend Marcy Hartle, who was on my sports desk back in 1986 at the Baltimore Sun. I was the music critic at the Evening Sun. And she said to me, you got to go see this band. She was from Buffalo. You got to go see this band. They're from Milwaukee. They're unbelievable. And I next thing I know, I'm over at Shriver Hall. Over at Johns Hopkins. I think it was the home tour, but it might have been outside looking in right around that era. And I caught the juice for your band. And I don't know whether it was listening to Everly Brothers songs when I was a kid, or Harmonies, or the Beatles. I don't know what the hell you are. Americana, roots rock, heartland. I've heard all of that jargon, but for I don't know that I've ever heard you talk much about what you listened to. What did you listen to when you were a kid that made you and Sam put these harmonies together back in the day that have that beautiful sound?
Well, sometimes it's just dumb luck, when people get bands together, you're not really sure what it's going to be, and sometimes things just happen really great, and you don't, if you're smart, you don't question that, and you don't think you're bigger than that. You go with, like in boxing, you did what brung you there, what got you to that point is the magic, and that's what you stick with. And that's what kind of happened with Modine's. You know, we were just some kids in a small town who loved music. Lately, I've been explaining to the audience what really influenced me was the AM radio when I was a young kid, because they
I
played.
own an AM radio station. They're taking them out of cars, Kurt. They're killing me, man.
Is yeah, that's terrible, because for me it was a lot of magic. You know, they played everything. It wasn't formatted. They played all kinds of music, from British to American rock. They played soul and Motown. They played comedy. They played all kinds of stuff together, and it had just a wonderful energy about it, and I loved it. You know, and during the day I would listen to WOKY coming out of Milwaukee, and at night I could get WLS coming out of Chicago. So I'd lay there in my bed just listening to this magical music. And the DJs too, they all had this great personality. So anything I do in Bodine's is based on that kind of magic that I heard as a kid, and I'm always trying to emulate that. So you'll sometimes hear us doing what sounds like a rock song or harder rock, or sometimes more country leaning or Americana, or you know, something really soft and beautiful like a ballad, because that's what I remember hearing as a kid. It was all those different kinds of music coming at me, and that's what I thought the beauty was. You could hear everything. You just look for good songwriting.
I want to say something poignant in this, but your music has stayed with me all of my life. Songs like Forever on My Mind that nobody else has ever heard, or songs like Naked that everybody should hear, or anything off the first couple, three albums anyway. And I guess for all of that, it's such a hodgepodge of different kinds of music that I never really. Your music has stayed with me all of my life. It goes everywhere I go. I even got an old school iPod with a cord in it. It doesn't play in any of the new cars because it's not Bluetoothed up. What do you listen to? What has stayed with you that you were listening to as a kid on AM radio in the early 70s that still stays with you, that you listen to when you want to listen to music?
Yeah. Well, I find, you know, in my iTunes collections and stuff, I had downloaded a lot of the music from the 70s, and you know, that was being played at the time, you know, really good songwriting that was going on, even going back to the Motown stuff as well in the 60s. And I just, that stuff really captured me. It had a great energy about it, and I really loved it. And even the music that was going on in the late 70s, which was more of the American rock bands that were playing, had a real great energy and magic to them on the radio. And you know, I wasn't a kid, my family didn't have a lot of money, so I wasn't one of those kids who could go out and buy a lot of records. So I really depended on the radio to play stuff for me. And like I'm saying to you now, thank God the radio had so much to offer at that time. You know, it was just always, even when FM rock came on the scene, there was a lot of really great stuff being played then. And you could depend on it, you know. And like I'm saying, the DJs all had this great personality, and they would just draw you in. And it was just part of your life to tune in and listen to this. And music was part of all of our lives then, in a way that it's just not part of kids' lives anymore. You know, it's not that they don't like music, they do. It's just, it doesn't seem like it was as deeply rooted in them as it was our my generation.
Yeah, I collect the old 70s Pacifica belt buckles, so I have the collection. And every one of them is an album, and I remember the album and the lyrics and the art and the logos that made bands that you want to draw on your notebook. And then you're waiting for the next album, right? You're waiting for the tour, you're waiting for the album. I've been a lifetime of this. I'm waiting for your tour, and you're coming into town. What can I expect? And I've seen you recently, certainly without Sam in the last decade. I show up and I'm much more open-hearted as a washed-up music critic, as to say, you know what, I want to hear you play. I want to hear you play what you want to play, what's in your heart to play. And if you do that, it moves me. It moves me every night, whomever I see, wherever they are on their journey, because your journey's been checkered in a lot of different ways since that night I discovered you at Hampton Roads opening for U2. So we shared that night together many, many moons ago before they made their movie. But what is the band now? Tell everybody maybe that they haven't seen the Bodines in 10 or 15 and say, hey, I love those, man. I like the Party Five. I like Closer. I like all that. I want to go check you out. What can they expect?
I really try to these days, more than anything, I want people to walk away from our shows feeling good and feeling positive. For me, that was always really important with the music I was doing. And people get stressed out of their minds these days, and it always seems like the world's on fire. So when you come out to a Bodine show, I just want people to feel like they can escape from that for a while. I don't want it to be about where you are on politics or anything like that. I just want a room full of people to get together and sing songs together. So I play a little of everything going back to our first record and, of course, up to our latest release. And I try to give people a little bit of all the different eras of Modine's in there. And like I'm saying, the main message when we're done and when we finish, I want people to feel like, God, that was great. I'm glad I saw it. I'm glad I went out and sang songs because I feel better just doing that. You know, I feel like there's some good stuff in the world, and that's what I'm trying to accomplish.
I'm always looking for that show. I went to see Seal last week, and my friends are like, I've never heard you gush about anything quite like this. And I'm like, oh, I've seen thousands of shows. It was unbelievably good. Springsteen, and Springsteen played here at the arena, the new CFG Bank Arena, a couple weeks ago. He's coming back and doing the stadiums. I'm a Springsteen nut, you know, traveled all around Australia twice, chasing him around New Zealand, Europe, all of that stuff. You do I'm on Fire. I went down to Austin to see Bruce about 8 weeks ago, first couple weeks of the tour. I wanted to go check him out, check out the new building, check out Austin, which I know you make your home near there, sort of a selected place for you being the Waukesha, Milwaukee guy. Bruce and Bruce's influence on music and the fact that you do a Bruce cover and you do a Stones cover, you know, give the people what they want, right?
Well, you know, I like Springsteen because he seemed to be singing about a lot of stuff that I could relate to how I grew up as well. You know, seems like his family probably didn't have a lot of money, but they made do and they got through. And I can just relate to kind of what he's saying, which I think a lot of people do, obviously. So, but when it came to I'm on Fire, it was one of the most romantic songs I ever heard. I just remember I always think about hearing that song late at night driving home and thinking, what a beautiful, simple, romantic song. And so I always wanted to kind of do a version of it. And I did and got it on the American Made record around 2012, I think it was. And so we pull that out now and then and play it. I've done a few different Springsteen songs here and there. I did a cover of Atlantic City for a tribute record that was put out years ago as
Yeah, I own
well.
that one, the Badlands piece. Yeah, a lot of great bands contributed to that. Great renditions of familiar music, you know, and how you do it.
Right.
So my boys in the Smithereens did Downbound Train on that one.
Yeah, right. Another great song. But yeah, he's just got, you know, an endless amount of them. But so I always like them. And the Stones, I was hearing since I was a kid, when it comes to rock and roll energy, for me, it's the Stones or AC/DC that both have just this pure rock and roll energy that I love about their music. And I always will love that.
You got a favorite child, favorite song? Do you know, like a song that you love that you don't
No.
play or can't play? Is there anything you haven't? I've never seen you do Forever on My Mind ever. I don't think you did it on the home tour.
Yeah.
I mean, are there any songs that you've never done other than that? Like when people yell Valentine's Day at Springsteen because he never does it, right?
I think we did play it probably once or twice, but not a lot. But it was probably on the tour of when it was released.
I love that song. Do you still love that song, or is it one that you've left behind?
No, I think it's a beautiful song. I love the melody on it, and I love the sentiment of that song. I really do. But last count, I had 215 songs copyrighted in my name, so I can't play them all. That's why I love playing, you know, the few new ones each time we have a new record because they're fresh energy. And then I have a certain amount, like a third of the set, where it's really kind of the favorite old sing-alongs that we play, and then there's another third where I try to change it up each year and give something new and interesting and different that we play. So that's what I kind of look for those to each year to change up, play something different.
I'm always trying to gateway people to my favorite band, which is your favorite band. And when I try to gateway people, I don't know really where to gateway them other than to say it's sort of rocky and spree, but give it a chance or go back and listen. If you like music of the era, you will like it. But I don't, what would be the gateway song for you? Because to me, it's not Closer to Free. You know, I mean, it's not that. For me, it might be Good Things, you know, like would be a gateway to who you are and what the band's about and saying, if you've never
Oh,
heard
City
it, that's a
Pumpers.
great song, you know. And I hear that now, like out sometimes. I've heard it in the supermarket. I mean, you know, because there's so many serious channels and whatnot. But is that the gateway song?
That's definitely one of them. You'll hear a lot of people know that song, even though they didn't know who did it or something, they will know good things. Also in supermarkets, they play Idaho quite a bit. So subliminally, people probably know that one as well. Although the very first song that you ever heard from us, like that was out on MTV and stuff, was Fade Away. And that's so to me, Fade Away is a real iconic Modine song as well, because it was that first sound of our voices together playing real simple music. It was a beautiful minor key song. So those are the three I point to a lot, besides Closer to Free is just Fade Away, Idaho, and Good Things, because those are, to me, the sound of Modine's.
Well, I've wasted 20 minutes of your day, but certainly for my audience, we appreciate it. I know that anybody that trips over this, you do talk to some people from time to time about your music, and I'm glad you're still doing this. I'm glad you're still happy about doing it. That when I show up, it's a joyful night for me. So it's Preakness night. Hey, man, when I was younger, I was no good after 5 o'clock on Preakness night, but I'm gonna try to, stay in the race, stay steady, and then I'll
That's
get
right.
down to Annapolis on Saturday night to see you guys. I really appreciate the time. I encourage everyone to go out and explore the music of the Bodines. Certainly go check them out. You come around at least once a year and are out on the circuit, and it means a lot to your fans. And we'll get together and, as I say to my wife, shake our asses on Saturday night, because that's what the old guys all get together and do.
Yeah, that sounds great. Come on, check us out. If you haven't seen us before, I think you'll like it. It's a great simple music, sing along, fun, positive message. What else you got to do? But come on, have a good time, right?
In beautiful Annapolis on a spring night with the Bodines. Kurt, I really appreciate you taking a little bit of time. I'll be at the merch stand supporting the band. Don't worry about it. And I got to keep you bands all out on the road. That's what I say to everybody during COVID. I'm like, hey, man, when this thing's over and the bands come back, go out, support the music that you miss, that you love. And I'm taking advantage of that more than baseball. They're giving me a hard time because the baseball team's playing well and I'm out with John Waite, but that's no problem. I mean, the babies and the Bodines and the music came first. So I do appreciate you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. You take care of yourself.
You got it. Kurt Newman joining us here from Bodines. There's this one and this one and this one, and they're all great. And you should go check them out and certainly download them and give my favorite band a chance. If you trust my judgment on music, and my judgment's been pretty decent over the course of time. We hope to see the Bodines down in Annapolis. And by the way, our friends at Ramshead doing a great, great job down there. Maryland Hall, lots of great bands coming in. Lots of great bands coming to the Lyric, Merriweather, CFG Bank Arena. I had Bill Weidel on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour last week over at State Fair. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We'll be giving these away on the 23rd on Tuesday. We're going to be up in Fallston at the local, eating crab cakes, having fun, talking about things. It's also brought to you by our friends at Window Nation. My friends at the Rock and Roll Society down in Annapolis will see me on a stool in one of the great little rooms in America to see music at Annapolis at Ramshead. And all the Ramsheads are great, but the Annapolis one is the best. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking rock and roll in Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.